Big sell-off on Wall Street, the Dow down 138 points. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this Tuesday edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. It's great to be back with you for a brand new week of broadcasting. We've got a number of things on tap here for you lined up for this week. First of all, let me just say welcome back, and I hope you had a wonderful time of fellowship around the Word of God this past Lord's Day. Since I don't have a broadcast on Monday, I want to make sure that I say that to you on Tuesday. I want to make sure that we just keep reiterating the importance of the local church and going to church and being in fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, taking advantage of the means of grace that God has afforded to us and so graciously given to us. I think that's so important, and I mention it often during the radio program because there's actually movements in the evangelical church today that are really have a low view of God, a low view of God's Christ, a low view of God's Word, and a low view of God's church. And so I like to say, as we come together again on Tuesday, that I hope you had a wonderful time together with the portion of the vineyard that God has placed you in. And I hope that the pastor opened up the Word of God and preached out of the Word of God, looked at what God's Word had to say, and I hope your soul was richly blessed as you did that. And so welcome back to a brand new week of broadcasting. We're going to talk about a very interesting subject today. I'll give you what that is in just a moment. Let me tell you that on tomorrow's broadcast, our Worldview Wednesday edition of the program, Jamie Dean from World Magazine is going to be with us. And we're going to be talking about Christians and charity, specifically the type of charity work that is done related to disasters that take place. And even more specifically, we're going to zero in on the work of Franklin Graham that he's doing with Samaritan's Purse right now in North Korea. This is certainly not without controversy. People wondering, is it right for us to, does politics trump the idea of us going there to help people that are starving? Or does the our ability and desire to help people in that are in need in that country, does that trump the idea of whatever happening in the political world? That's a discussion that we're going to have tomorrow on that portion of the radio broadcast. Second portion hasn't been confirmed yet, but looking at an author who is talking about organizing, conservatives organizing at the local level. The current president, Barack Obama, was noted as being a community organizer. Well, that's on the left. What about on the right? Are people that are conservative, are they also organizing? Should they be organizing? Should Tea Party folks be organizing? And if so, how should they do that? That's what we'll talk about on the second half of that broadcast. On the third broadcast for this week, the third and final one, on Thursday, we'll be looking at the subject of whether or not Google is evil. I know that's a strange question. I understand. But do you know that Google's tagline is actually, Google being, of course, the mega giant search engine on the Internet, but do you know that Google's tagline is actually do no evil? That's what their motto or their slogan is. The question is Google then evil? Are there parts of what they're doing? Could we look at that and say that that's not right? What they're doing in this aspect of their business is wrong. We're going to talk about that with an author of a book called Search and Destroy. He's going to be with me on Thursday's broadcast, and we'll take a look at the Internet giant and see what you think about that. On today's topic, though, we're going to talk about something that is very, very interesting, a very interesting and I think quite provocative book that has been written, and this one is written by Elise Fitzpatrick and her daughter Jessica Thompson. The title of it is called Give Them Grace. Now, when you hear that, you probably don't realize immediately that this is a book on parenting, but the subtitle says Dazzling Your Kids with the Love of Jesus. Now, Elise has been with me on the program previously. We've talked about a number of different issues before. I think we've had her on to talk about her book, Counsel from the Cross, just excellent, about the statements that Christ made from the cross. And then she, I think, followed it up, secondly, with a book called Comforts from the Cross. That was equally as good. We also spoke with Elise briefly about an article she wrote called Seven Steps to Nothing. I love that title. It's a very good title. And I think probably that that concept of Seven Steps to Nothing will play in pretty tightly to the subject that we're talking about today. With that, let me go ahead and just read to you just a little bit of a statement on the back of the book and mention to you that this book is published by Crossway. That's www.crossway.org. And I will be giving away copies of this book during the program today. And so if you want to call in, 1-888-660-9535, or send me an email at kevin@knowingthetruth.org. That number is toll-free. The email address is toll-free as well, by the way. You can send me an email at kevin@knowingthetruth.org, and in either way, I'll be happy to get your question or comment into the discussion, and I'll be happy to give you a complimentary book, compliments of the good folks over there at Crossway. It says this on the back of the book, all of us want to raise good kids, and we want to be good parents. But what exactly do we mean by good? And is being good really the point? Mother-daughter team, Elise Fitzpatrick and Jessica Thompson, contend that every way we try to make our kids good, quote-unquote good, is simply an extension of Old Testament law, a set of standards that is not only unable to save our children, but also powerless to change them. And so she says, no, rules are not the answer. What they need is grace. With that, let's go ahead and welcome Elise Fitzpatrick, the author of more than 15 books on biblical counseling, family, and Christian life, including her book on Because He Loves Me and Comforts from the Cross that I was mentioning, and also Elise's daughter, Jessica. Jessica is a member of an Acts 29 church and has been homeschooling for the past couple of years. She's married and had three children of her own, and so she certainly knows something about parenting as well. So with that, ladies, welcome into the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Thanks, Kevin. It's good to be with you.
Thank you.
Ladies, good to talk to you, too. You could hear in my introduction that I said that this is a little bit provocative. And I think, as I remember reading through the introduction of the book and other chapters in the book, I noticed that you had made mention of the fact that this is kind of radical in the way that we look at it. I think Tullian, in his foreword for the book, Tullian Trevigen, talks about the word radical and this being, you know, completely different than other books that are out there on parenting, many other books, maybe not all other books, but many other books. Tell us, why is this book different? Why is this a radical approach to parenting?
You know, it's an interesting question, Kevin, because I think that we come at our parenting very much the same as perhaps a Mormon would or a conservative Jewish family would, or even a secular atheist who is moral. I think most of us as Christians come at our parenting in that direction. In other words, we take rules and please, you know, just want to say at the get-go, we're not saying don't give your kids any rules.
Mm-hmm.
But what we tend to do, most of us, is take rules, and this is certainly what I did when I was raising our family, and use those rules to try to make our kids good. And perhaps we even get far enough to say, well, yeah, we're going to try to get at our kids' hearts, we're going to get at their outward behavior, but also their hearts. And as you know, you and I have talked a lot about the gospel, Kevin, and
mm-hmm.
as the Lord has been working in my own life to help me see the difference between the law and the gospel, between gospel declarations where we talk about what Jesus has already done for us, and then gospel obligations where we talk about how we are to respond. As we have sort of worked through that, and Because He Loves Me and Counsel from the Cross and those books, we then got to the place where, and particularly I with my daughter, began to discuss, okay, so if all of those things are true about how we're supposed to be living and how we live in the light of what Jesus has already done for us, then how should that affect our parenting?
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, I think the book is radical. I think that as parents, what we want are five easy steps to produce good kids, and we're basically not giving steps here. What we're doing is trying to focus parents' hearts in on the gospel and what Christ has already done.
Mm-hmm. So that that message of bringing that type of gospel into parenting is one of the missing elements that you would see in many of the parenting books that are out there today.
Yes, and yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that most of the parenting books are kind of a parenting covenant of works. In other words, good parenting in, good kids out. So if you do these 10 things with your kids, then your kids will turn out to be good kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we assume the gospel. I know I did. When I was raising my kids, I assumed that because they heard the gospel from time to time, and basically that would just be a short evangelistic message,
mm-hmm.
That I assumed that they understood the gospel and believed it, and that the real action for us in our home was not about what Jesus Christ had already done and teaching children to live in the light of that. It was rather about, okay, now you've heard the gospel message, and now you've prayed a prayer, and now we're going to get about the business of you becoming obedient.
Hmm.
And that really was the focus, I think, of my parenting, and I think it's the focus really of the majority of Christians who are very, very interested in their children coming to faith or being obedient or being nice, and the message that we're giving, Kevin, and one of the things that really drove us as we were working on this book was there has been surveys that are done on, you know, how many kids who are raised in a Christian home,
mm-hmm.
they, you know, in the faith, and those statistics are just really terrible. The very best statistic is only 60% leave the faith.
Mm. Wow.
That's the very best
yeah.
one. And then, of course, other studies have been done and just asked Christian young people, what is the message of Christianity? Or do they even know the message? And the words that we have heard that come out of these studies are these three words that they think, young people think, that Christianity is moralistic, therapeutic deism.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, be good so God will, so you will feel good. God will do you good. That is not the message of the gospel, and I think we're just not giving it to our kids because we think they already know it.
Mm. That statistic that's given, and you know, a number of other authors have pointed to that. Of course, Soul Searching, the book that brought that out, the collection of the study that was done over, I think, 5 years or so, that brought that out. That they mentioned that, of course. But Ken Ham also mentioned that statistic in his book that discusses Already Gone, I think was the title of it. He's now got mm-hmm. a follow-up about Christian colleges as well. But he doesn't, I don't think he necessarily ties it back to parenting the way that you do. He ties it back to that we did not have an apologetic approach in our teaching. In other words, we were telling our kids, whether in Sunday school, in the home, I guess, or even in the church service as well, this is what we believe, but we weren't telling them why we believe these. And he now has a more focused impact, or trying to help out more on apologetics. But you seem to have taken that statistic even further than that and said, well, wait a second, this is the direct result of us not parenting and using grace in our parenting. Do you think that could be too far? Could that really be? Could we make the correlation?
Well, you know, when you interview young people, and I have had the opportunity to talk to numbers of them, certainly not, you know, any great majority or anything, but when you interview young people who are raised in churches, and a lot of them good churches, and you say, what does it mean to be a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
Even those young people who are still saying that they are a Christian,
mm-hmm.
what they say it means, what they think it means, is something about asking Jesus into your heart and then being nice.
Yeah.
Being a good person.
Mm.
And see, my perspective is simply this. You can give children a good apologetic worldview, and I know that there are worldview institutes and all of that sort of business, and that's all a really good thing. But if they don't understand that this isn't just an issue of are you going to have the right are you going to have the right apologetics?
Mm.
This is an issue of what Jesus Christ has already done, and I don't think young people really get it. I don't think they understand how, if they are a Christian, justification applies to their life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they know that. And the reason that I think, another reason that I think that, is because I have talked to numbers of parents, and I will say to them, how does justification apply to your life? What does that even mean? And most of them can't even explain it,
right.
Let alone talk about those issues that we talk about, and because He loves me, how what Christ has already done in justifying us,
mm-hmm.
how that should impact us every day. Most parents can't do it, let alone articulate it to their children.
Mm. Is that, though, speaking to the issue of the low state of doctrinal truth being taught in our churches today, is that really speaking to that issue, which I wholeheartedly agree? I think that we're at a, as you could hear in the introduction where I was talking about the importance of going to church, you know, that there is just a very low state and there are very few Christians that can anywhere near properly articulate, like you were saying, justification and how justification and sanctification differ and all sorts of doctrinal truth. But is that really speaking to that issue, or is it saying that, as your book is saying, I think, that parents know this, they know the truth of the gospel, they know what real salvation is about, only when it comes to parenting, they seem to abandon that, and they seem to go back to the law in order to be able to get their kids to conform in the home?
I think it's both and.
Okay.
I think, first of all, I agree with you. The number of people who are in what I would call good churches who cannot articulate, I mean, and I'm not talking about some big theological discussion. I'm just talking about, you know, what does propitiation mean?
Mm-hmm.
Who cannot articulate that. So, yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly. There is a dearth of really deep preaching on the gospel in our churches.
Mm-hmm.
Not only, you know, when I say the gospel, of course, I mean all of the work of Jesus Christ.
Right.
So, yes, there is that, Kevin. But then also, I think it's very easy for us as parents, even if we do know those things, to sort of rely more on the law, rely more on rules to try to get our kids to obey. And that's something I think Jessica can really speak to as well,
mm-hmm.
because she is a person who both knows those things and then is trying to apply them in her parenting. And so I'm not saying that parents necessarily say, oh, well, I know justification, but I'm not going to give it to my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the problem is, yes, first of all, most of them don't know what justification is as far as it would impact their daily life. And then secondly, I think it's just much easier for us to have a set of rules and a chart and stickers than it is for us to sit down with our children and have a gospel conversation.
Yeah, this is why I think that this book is interesting, is it goes beyond just this idea of compartmentalized Christianity. You know, we do one thing in the home and then, you know, let's take them to church and this is where they're going to hear the gospel. But it even
right.
seems to go beyond like an everyday talk like Jay Yance wrote, you know, where he says, well, wait a second, as parents, based on Deuteronomy 6, we've got to be speaking speaking to our children about the gospel all throughout life, at every different stage of life and all the activities of life. But yours even seems to go further than that by saying that the gospel, and this is where it really gets interesting, because I believe this in concept. I'm just trying to flesh it out in parenting. that it actually makes a difference in the application of the gospel to the way that you parent. And yes. Jessica, this is where I want to bring you in, because poor Wesley has made it into the introduction. His little issue that he had with his younger brother has made it into the introduction. Why don't you retell the story of what happened? Because I think this is obviously why you ladies have put this into the introduction. This begins to flesh out for us, what does it look like in everyday life to be applying the gospel in this way to our parenting? So tell the story, and then we'll go ahead and ask a few questions about it.
Okay. Well, he's not so little anymore. He's 12 now. So when this story happened, he was four, and he had still has a younger brother who's 2 years younger than him. I was in the other room, and I heard screams coming from the living room. I ran out, and sitting on top of his two-year-old brother was my four-year-old hitting him, pounding away with all gusto. And so I pull him off and say to him, you have to love your brother. This isn't okay. You must love him, which I think that's what most Christian parents would say, right? We tell them, no, this is against the law. This is against God's law. This is disobedience. You know this isn't okay. This isn't right. You have to love him.
Mm-hmm.
To which my son replied to me, I can't. And then I said to him, exactly right. You cannot love your brother, which is why you need a Savior. This is why you need Jesus. If you could love him, we wouldn't need Jesus. But you can't love him, which is why he had to come and live perfectly, always love his brothers, die your death, take your punishment, so that you can have a right standing with God. So I think that most Christian parents, we're pretty good at giving the law. Right? I mean, that's easy. We want to tell people, you shouldn't do this, you should do this. I think that comes pretty naturally to parents. But then the question is, what do they say when they say, I can't, what do we say when they say, I can't obey the law? Mm-hmm. I can't do what you're telling me to do. Because that is the truth. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, no one's righteous, no, not one. Right? We know that. The Bible tells them they're depraved. They can't obey the law. And yet, here we are demanding it of them.
Mm-hmm.
So where's the answer in that for them? Where's the hope in that for them?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the hope is that Jesus Christ came, lived a sinless life, died our death, was ascended, and now is interceding for them.
Mm-hmm.
And giving that hope to our children. So it's not just obey or you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's obey, I can't, and here's the answer.
I guess a number of questions with the it's a very practical example, and I'm glad you guys put it in there, because I think it's helpful to then work through the ramifications of what you're saying in this book. But very practically, I would think that a lot of parents would have went out there and said, stop hitting your brother. You know, you don't want him to hit you. I probably would have said something like, you know, he's going to be bigger than you someday, and he's going to exact his revenge, you know. But, don't hit him, because, you know, you don't want to be hit. So I would bring the gospel in. I would bring the Bible in, you know, that do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You don't want him to hit you, so don't hit him. Second of all, because, number one, I told you not to hit him, and I'm the authority figure in this home, and therefore I told you not to do it. Maybe third would be, that there's other ways to deal with problems. If you have an issue with your brother, that's not how you handle it. That there, I could spell out in his terms, you know, down on his level, that if you've got a problem, you come and tell me, and then we'll deal with what the problem is. But you don't just jump on him and slug him. You know, that's not the answer to the problem. So I would be bringing the Bible to bear on all of those solutions to the problem. But I'm wondering, really, is it for a four-year-old? Am I really going to begin to say to him, you know, well, that's right, you can't do this? Or would I be kind of superseding the work of the law in his life, you know, that this is the way it is, and there are laws that you have to obey, and, you know, lay that groundwork now would be just fine at 4 years old, and then that'll come in later when he's able then to understand that. I'm not saying that he finds his acceptance in keeping what I tell him to do. You see what I'm saying? Getting ahead of myself by starting to tell him, well, you can't obey. And then he's like, well, why should I obey then? You just told me I can't. So I'm wondering if it's too confusing for a four-year-old, I guess.
Right. I would say, you know, these are conversations I've had with my children. But I think the law is coming to bear in his life when he tells me, I can't obey God's holy law. Right? That's the whole point of the law. This is what Paul tells us. It's all throughout the Bible. The point of the law is to drive us to our need for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I'm giving him the law. And I'm saying all those other things you said, for the most part, to my children, too. Look, there's other ways to resolve conflict, all of those things. But in my parenting, in all of life, in all of those discussions, I want to know nothing but Christ and him crucified.
Mm.
So not only am I giving him those things, yes, giving him tools to solve conflict, you know, things like that,
mm-hmm.
I also want to give him Jesus Christ. I want to give that to them, even if they don't completely understand it. That's not my work. The Spirit will bring it to bear in his life when he's 4 or 14 or 24 or whenever, right? So the Spirit has to do that work. I feel like it's my job. I feel like what a parent's job is to bring the truth of the gospel into every situation. What's the law for? The law is to show us our need for a Savior. The law is to show us that we can't do it.
Mm. I would just add a couple other purposes of the law. I do list that as the third purpose of the law, but the first two would be that the law shows us that we are accountable to God, first and foremost, that ultimately we're accountable to him, not to anybody else. And then secondly, that the law shows us that we are what the only standard is that God will accept. And then third, I say that the law shows us, drives us to the Lord Jesus Christ because we realize we're going to be accountable to God and that we can't keep his standard, and so we need Christ. I'm just wondering now, are we jumping too quickly to the third part? Are we jumping, you know, is part of parenting maybe where we are basically saying these are the rules and you will obey these rules, is maybe this a little bit more foundational to that whole understanding than jumping in that early and saying, I know that you can't keep these rules. You know, he's only had 4 years of being at maybe two of those years with any real sense of understanding at all to be able to, you see what I'm saying? I'm just wondering if we're getting ahead of ourselves too quickly with it.
Right. I completely understand your question. I think that all of those things sort of go together in my mind, that I'm telling them there is a higher authority. There is a rule that needs to be followed, and you will. And I do say that to them. If you are not hidden in Christ, if you are not one of his children, you will eventually have to pay for your sins.
Mm-hmm.
I have a six-year-old. I just want you to know and to hear. I've been talking about this with my kids, and they say these things back to me in moments where I'm not telling them the right words.
Mm-hmm.
So when my daughter was 5 or 6, she had done something, I don't even know what it was, something crazy, colored on the wall, cut her hair off. I'm not exactly sure at this point. It was one of those.
So I came into
her and I said to her, why would you do this? Why have you done this? And she said to me, I'm not dead. I'm going to sin. I need a Savior. Right? So, yes, I think they understand. Again, it's not, I can be telling them all those things. We can be telling them in the right order. I can be constantly telling them about the gospel of grace. Ultimately, salvation is of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. Yes, we need to have a right worldview for our children. We need to have a right view of law for our children. We need to have a right view of the gospel for our children. And we need to share those things. But ultimately, it's a work of the Holy Spirit in their life. And I think that's what our book, we're trying to say. We don't want this to be another, list of things you have to do, another burden that you feel like you don't do, your children won't be saved.
Mm-hmm.
What we want this book to do is free parents to share the gospel with their children.
Mm.
And be able to... Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was interrupting there. Just, I need to take a quick commercial break, but I want to come back to that thought because this is really where the rubber meets the road for me on this book. I understand that there has been a number of parenting books and even lifestyles within the church where the law has been overexalted. I'm just wondering now if, in reaction to that, if we are not allowing the law to do its work, the work that it needs to do. And we'll come back to that question right after the break and talk a little bit more about it. The apostle said the law is good if it is used lawfully. So we've got to use it lawfully. Are we doing that with our children, or are we using it in a way that is unlawful before God? We'll talk more about it.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
How do we take a Christian view on the social issues and how to solve them? On the next Janet Mefford Show, Dr. Vern Poitras will join me to discuss his new book, Redeeming Sociology, A God-Centered Approach. And with so many seminary students loaded down in debt, what's the best solution for producing the next generation of church leaders? Forbes.com's Jerry Boyer will join me to talk about it. That's next time, so don't miss the Janet Mefford Show.
Weekday afternoons from 2 to 5 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie D's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie D's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza. They'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie D's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
The American Legion. We're a powerful force for the nation. We're the largest organization of wartime veterans in the nation. We've served America in uniform, and we continue to serve through our membership in the American Legion. We're patriots through and through. We believe in our flag and what it stands for. Our Constitution, our Pledge of Allegiance, our way of life are all fundamental to maintaining our freedom and the standing we have as the greatest country on earth. We promote and defend these values every day in communities across the nation. We're at the forefront to protect our flag from acts of desecration. We have many programs that teach our youth about the rights and responsibilities of citizenship and what a gift it is to be an American. And you can find us marching down main streets in small towns and big cities all across America, showing our support and pride for our veterans and their families. Go to legion.org to find out more about the American Legion's commitment of service to America.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half and then some of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. I ran late on taking the commercial break at the bottom of the hour, and that's because we're in a very interesting discussion about a brand new book. It's published by Crossway, and the title of the book is called Give Them Grace, Dazzling Your Kids with the Love of Jesus. And I say very interesting because it really is, and I think that this one title in the introduction really says it all. It says this, you're a Christian parent, but is your parenting Christian? That gets to the really, to the heart of this issue. You know, it's one thing to have a plaque in your kitchen that says Jesus is the unseen guest at every meal. It's one thing to have a fish symbol on your car, and one thing to say, even say to your kids, hey, on Wednesday night we go to prayer meeting or Bible study, and Sunday morning we go to church. That's one thing. But are you actually, is the gospel actually impacting the way that you parent? You say, well, yeah, it does, because we don't let our kids watch certain types of TV programs and these things. No, I'm going beyond that. I'm going way beyond that. I'm going to the point of saying, when, as we're disciplining our children, as we're instructing our children, are we actually using grace in that process? Are we taking what has been done to us as Christian parents, and are we trying then to give that back to our children? Or Are we just demanding of our children that they don't embarrass us in front of somebody else, that they be quiet when we tell them to be quiet, that they stay out of this when we tell them to stay out of it? And, you know, we just want them to be moral. We just want them to, you know, just don't do anything that's really going to embarrass me in front of my friends. That's basically what it comes down to many times. So this is what we're thinking about, and it's a good question. And the two ladies that are with me here today as my guests are Elise Fitzpatrick and Jessica Thompson. They've co-authored this book. The foreword is by Tullian Trevigian. Tullian is Billy Graham's grandson. He's now the pastor in Coral Ridge, Florida. But it's just an interesting topic. And so I interrupted Jessica in order to take the break. So let me go back to Jessica and let you finish your thought on what you were saying about Christian parenting, and specifically about whether or not we are bringing the gospel in and how you're doing that with your six-year-old.
Right. So I think I just was saying, we give them the law to drive them to Christ. We also give them the law to make them grateful for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I believe that children's hearts will be opened when it's time.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever the age is, to me, I feel like what I'm called to do as a parent, what the Bible asks me to do as a parent, is to share the gospel of grace with them. When they see their need, when they see that they can't obey the law, when they are driven to their knees, when they tell me it's hopeless, then I come in with, well, what is our hope? As Christians, what is our hope?
Mm-hmm.
It's not, our hope is not in our ability to obey the law. Our hope is in Christ obeying the law perfectly on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Kevin, let me just sort of hop in here for a second, too.
Sure.
I know that the way that I raised my children was basically, these are the rules, and if they would have said to me, I can't do it, I would have said, oh, yes, you can, and you will.
Yeah, that's me.
And, right, I mean, that's basically how I raised my children.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, there is also a very strong sort of push, like you were saying when we came back from the break, about, you know, I want my kids to look good. I don't want them to embarrass me. So I'm going to give them rules, and I'm going to insist that they obey the rules. We're not saying, and I really hope that our listeners would hear this, we are not saying don't give your children rules. What we are saying is, give them rules. Give them the law. That we absolutely believe that we are to give our children the law. But the law, even though Paul does say it is holy and righteous and good, he also said he couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And there in Romans 7, where he says that, he says, who's going to deliver me? I'm just beside myself because the thing I know I should do, I can't do, even though I want to do it. And Paul says, thanks be to God for Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, when my perspective is simply this, that when kids hear the law from us, but then they don't also hear the gospel, then a lot of times kids will think, well, I can't be good. I can't be good. They give me the law. They tell me not to do that. Don't tell lies. And every time I turn around, it just seems like I'm telling a lie. And so therefore, and this is what the way I think kids frame it, they will say something like this, Christianity works for you, but it doesn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I think what they're saying is, I've tried to obey the law, but I can't do it. I find myself continually failing in certain areas, and, you know, certain kids have certain problems, but I find myself failing. And if we're not continually driving the message of the hope of the gospel, which is simply, you are not accepted by God because you were good today, Johnny. And we have heard parents say things like, if you don't obey mommy, Jesus is sad.
Mm-hmm.
What we want to do is say no. What we want to say to our children is, if you are in Christ, and we never know. You know, a lot of times parents assume that their children are believers because they prayed some prayer. And a lot of times children, sometimes children are believers, and sometimes children just want to make their parents happy or get them off their back or whatever. So they say, yes, they are believers, when in fact they're not. And so what we want to do when they come to us and they're hopeless, they're really struggling, they have a problem. Oh, here they've done it again. They've lost their temper again, or they didn't tell the truth again. Instead of us saying, simply, the Bible says don't tell lies, and we will say that,
mm-hmm.
but that's not all we say. You can go to Jesus Christ, and he will forgive you for sin, which, of course, forgiveness of sins is what motivates us to obey, which is why, you know, getting back to the purpose of the law again, one of the purposes of the law is to make us grateful for Christ's keeping of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we say to our children, and when they say we can't do it, we say, honey, we know you can't on your own. That's why God sent a rescuer. Let's be thankful that Jesus Christ kept it in your place. So Kevin, we're not saying don't give the law.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're saying is don't give them just law, give them the gospel.
I see. That makes sense, where you're saying that previous parenting tips or concepts have ended too short. They only give the law, and
right.
Only the examples of heroes that if you do this, then you're accepted. Yes. If you do this, you're not accepted, and those types of things. I guess my questions are coming out of a little bit of the background from these is coming from. There's a big gospel-centered movement in evangelicalism today. We're talking about gospel-centered preaching. We're
mm-hmm.
talking about gospel-centered churches, gospel-centered parenting, I think, is one. But these types of things. And the only issue that, you know, of course, I want to preach the gospel, and I talk about making a beeline for the cross of Christ in all my preaching. I'm a pastor as well, and these types of things. But it seemed to me that there seemed to be a... the problem is that they were racing in to blunt the imperatives that we find in the scripture. That, you know, there would be an imperative there. It would say, Jesus said to do this, but we know that we can't do that. Jesus did it for us perfectly, therefore we need to rest in him. And they were kind of racing in and very quickly blunting the imperative that is given to us in the Word of God. And I just, out of that background or that backdrop, you know, I started to wonder, are we doing this in the parenting that's being... in your book, you know, being talked about here, would that be a pitfall that we need to watch out for?
You know, I think it, let me say a couple of things. First of all, I think it might be a pitfall if you are not living in the real world with children.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, you've got kids, and, mm-hmm. you know, Brian Chappell, and this is one of the quotes we have in the book, talks about how unkind it would be not to give children rules. It's an unkindness to not give them rules. I don't think that's what gospel-centered parenting is about.
Mm.
What gospel-centered parenting is, I, and again, I think it's very easy in the sort of theological, ethereal world to talk about just giving the gospel and never giving rules. When you've got kids in your house, they have to have rules,
mm-hmm.
or they're just going to be wild.
Mm-hmm.
So you give children the rules, and that's what we're saying we want to do, is give them the rules. But, Kevin, we want to do that in the context, in a context like in the New Testament, every one of those imperatives, which perhaps they are being blunted, I don't know, you know, I'll be honest with you, and you know me, I travel around the United States
mm-hmm.
Speaking to women about the gospel, and they are in good churches, and they say to me, I've never heard this before.
Mm-hmm.
So whether or not they're actually, you know, whether or not the indicatives are superseding the imperatives and nobody's talking about imperatives, I don't know that that's the case.
Yeah.
I think that for most Christians, what they think Christianity is five steps to a better marriage.
Right, right. And I certainly see that as well. And I've heard that same thing. In fact, I tell people that one of the good things about just preaching the gospel is people think we're doing something new. You know, they think we're cutting edge. They say, wow, you know, check this out. They just open up the Bible and teach it. You know, they don't have all this other stuff that goes along with it. This is really great. So I have seen that as well. And I'm wondering if some of the stuff that I'm reading is then just a little bit of an overreaction. Hey, I'm here in the South, and we're right that, you know, this was the big independent fundamentalist bastion for years and years. So that whole mentality that we're describing here, you know, it was an art form in this area. And so I understand it completely, and I deal with that a lot. I'm just a little bit concerned about overswinging the pendulum, and that's where my questions are coming. I just wanted you to know out of what background I'm speaking. Let me run to the phone line very quickly. We've got John on line two with a question. John, go ahead with your question or comment today.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I appreciate what you're saying, Kevin, about blunting the imperatives and being Reformed and Presbyterian and having a theological education and knowing some of the backlash against moralistic preaching, but also some of the backlash against the law. It just when you talk about the people who aren't doing it right, are you talking about Christian Counseling Education Foundation, James Dobson, Vision Forum? I know that Mark Driscoll is very directive in his preaching. And I'm just having a, you know, you issued these cautions, so I'm trying to think, well, you know, I'm reading stuff from Shepherd's Press. Is that what she's talking about? Or, you know, we read some stuff from Vision Forum. Is that what she's talking about? Or, you know, we read the Puritans. Or is that what she's talking about? Help me out here. Help me understand who you've got in mind when you are identifying moralistic type teaching. Help. I mean, give us can you give us some examples?
Sure. I'd be glad to do that. I would prefer, since a lot of those people that you mentioned are my friends,
mm-hmm.
I would prefer to not be real specific about certain people. But this is our concern. Our concern is that primarily among serious Christians, or maybe even not so serious Christians, there has been myriads of books written that basically lay out a covenant of works for parents. And you have a theological education, so you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They basically lay out a covenant of works for parents, which basically is, if you do these good things, you are going to have these good children. And that is one of the things that we're really militating against. And I will tell you, because I've been counseling since 1989, as a biblical counselor, trained at CCEF in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I have heard, the story I have heard myriads of times is this. I raised my child doing all these things. I did all of these things. I had all my ducks lined up. I did everything that all the experts told me to do, and now my children are not walking in the faith. Where is God? And so for me, one of the things that we are trying to do is help parents, first of all, free them from this covenant of works. And over in the book, our message is salvation is of the Lord. And honestly, without being disingenuous,
mm-hmm.
there's only two commands in the New Testament about parenting.
Mm.
And one of them ends with the phrase, in the Lord, of the Lord. And our question simply is this. We have developed methods and rules and charts and all of this stuff to try to assure ourselves that our children are going to have the faith we want them to have, the lifestyle we want them to have. Whereas in the New Testament, you've only got those two direct commands, imperatives, about training your children. One of them, as I said, has that phrase at the end, of the Lord. And my perspective is simply this. What did that mean to the Ephesians when it was written to them? Because in Ephesus, of course, they would have been training their children, they would have been bringing them up in the nurture of the philosophers. And the Jews who would have read it would have been bringing their children up in the law. And yet Paul says, bring them up in the Lord. And that's all we're saying here is simply this, don't forget that there are both imperatives and indicatives. There are both obligations and declarations in Scripture. Don't forget to give your kids declarations. My guess is that most parents who have a chart on their wall of what their children are to do have all of the imperatives and none of the indicatives, have all of the commands and none of the what did Jesus already do. And that's all we're doing. So please just, yes, we are in one way reacting. I'm reacting to 20-something years of counseling parents who raised their children well and whose children, you know, it didn't turn out the way they wanted them to turn out. I'm also reacting because I know that there are myriads of mothers and fathers, but primarily mothers, who function under this massive load of guilt because they have these 25 things that they think they have to do with their kids every single day, and if they don't do them, then they think that they're a failure. And what we keep saying over and over in the book is, salvation is of the Lord. Mm-hmm. You can't change your child's heart. Give them the gospel. Give them the law. Give them the gospel. Let the Holy Spirit do His work.
Mm. That's interesting. Having been a ruling elder and been in the Reform movement all my adult life for 30 years, and what I hear people saying, young Christian parents, is we don't know how to parent. Our parents didn't know how to parent. Our grandparents didn't know how to parent. Help us. And I hear this hue and cry. Teach us. We need practical preaching. So I don't know where you're coming from, but I want to go there because somebody's been at least teaching the how-tos, and I hear the opposite. I hear, you know, tell us from the Scriptures how to parent. Tell us from the Scriptures how to be godly children. Tell us from the Scriptures how to be godly employers and employees. It's just in Reform circles. You know, I can speak for that. There has been a dearth of practical preaching, and we've got Christians that have been in Reformed churches for 25 years, and they're clueless.
Mm-hmm.
That's been my experience.
Yeah, mine too, John. I've talked about it often on the radio program. Unfortunately, I could just spend all of the broadcasts all the time just talking about that, but I'm trying to get to the solution part of it too. And saying, well, this is what the landscape looks like right now, the environment looks like, but here is what we should do, and hopefully this book does that in the area of parenting. I don't know, I'm digesting it still and trying to let it sink into different parts, but John, thank you very much for your question today. We really appreciate it. Let me go back to both of the guests that I have on the program, both Elise and Jessica. Jessica, maybe I can start with you. We're just have about 2 minutes left in the broadcast, but would you just speak to the mother that is listening to the broadcast here? What would you say to her in just closing out the broadcast? I know we just scratched the surface of what's here in the book, but would you just speak to her for a second, and then I'll ask Elise to do the same thing as we close out the broadcast today.
What I would say to the mom who's listening today is to find rest in the gospel, not to try to change her children or to think it's all up to her, but to go to Jesus Christ and find rest in your strong Savior. You are a weak parent. You will fail, but there is hope for us. We have hope, and we have a Savior who cares deeply for us and is praying for us right now.
Hmm. And Elise?
Yeah, I think that one of the things that we really do emphasize in the book is this kind of parenting will drive you to your knees because, you know, you're really going to look to the Lord probably or perhaps in new ways to help you understand how the gospel, where do we see Jesus in this, how the gospel applies here. And one of the things that we talk about in the book is the beauty of being weak and dependent.
Mm.
And rules make us feel strong. Rules make us feel like we, you know, have everything in control. But what grace does, of course, is make us say, okay, this has to be your work, Lord. Thank you that you can work. Show me now how that happens. And just really being parents who are weak and dependent.
Mm.
And then praying, asking God for help.
Yeah, well said. I preached on it this past weekend, persistent prayer from Psalm 119 and verse 146. And I wholeheartedly agree. Ladies, thank you very much for writing this book. Thank you very much for taking time out to visit with us today on the program. We certainly appreciate it.
Thank you, Kevin.
Okay. This is the book we were talking about is Give Them Grace, Dazzling Your Kids with the Love of Jesus. Again, it's put out by Crossway, www.crossway.org, Elise Fitzpatrick and Jessica Thompson. Remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Knowing the Truth.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660, WLFJ Greenville.